Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you have just done in our midst already. And we pray, Lord, that you will empower your word. Give us understanding. Holy Spirit of God, brood upon your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this morning, this message is titled, Rooted and Built Up in Jesus. And maybe that's why God decided to visit us from the roots. Maybe just God working things out. Rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. The book of Colossians chapter 2, I'll read from verse 6 to 8. Colossians 2, 6 to 8. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, of the world, and not after Christ. Brethren, this scripture is encouraging us, instructing us to be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus. To be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Because we are living in a generation where a lot of people, a lot of Christians are feeding on the surface. A lot of surface feeders. A lot of people who are just, you know, who are just on the surface, and they don't go deeper to know what is it that God has really called us into. Even in our different relationships, you know, people are, you know, surface relationships. We are not going deep anymore. And that's why a lot of us wonder, how can we really find true friends anymore? Because it's just a lot of, you know, like acquaintances. Nobody wants to really know themselves deeper. Nobody wants to have a friendship that they can rely on. They don't want to throw their weight anymore. Maybe because of something they have experienced in the past. But it is not helping us that we don't have somebody, you know, that we can say this is a friend. It is not helping us. And the same thing translates to Christianity, that we don't want to go deeper to know the extent of what the faith that we profess. And that's why that scripture, Colossians, said, as you have therefore received Christ. So that scripture is not talking to unbelievers. It's not talking to unbelievers. It's talking to people who have accepted Jesus Christ. So it's telling them that there is more. There is more. It is not enough for us to say, I gave my life to Christ. It is more important for us to continue in that faith and to be rooted and be built up in him. We need to develop roots. We all know about the tap roots, the fibrous roots. The tap root is the one that goes very, very far deep into the ground, and the fibrous is the one, you know, at the surface. And it's so easy for us to uproot the, you know, that plantation that has a fibrous root, because it's just on the surface, you know, compared to the one that goes very, very deep into the ground. And that is the kind of depth that God wants us to have, the one that goes very far into the ground. And so that is why this morning, I believe God wants us to have our roots very, very deep. In the book of, maybe I should quickly go to an example of a people in the scripture, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. Because of our time, the Bible talks about the people there. They are called the Rechabites. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 35, I will just read maybe a few of the verses there, because I just want to point out one or two things. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 35. I'll read verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Joachim and the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, can you give us, trying to read from, go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into the house, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Can we go to verse 6? Verse 6. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye, nor your sons ever. Verse 7, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land which ye be strangers. Can we then read verse 14 and then 16? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink, and verse 16, to drink wine, and are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandments. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have hearkened not unto me. Verse 16, because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandments of their father, which he commanded them, but these people had not hearkened unto me. Okay, maybe we can stop there because of time. This scripture is talking about a group of people. These people happen to, you know, I don't want to tell us this, you know, everything about, you know, how they came to join, but they came to join the, you know, the tribe of Judah, you know, while the children of Israel were in the, they were passing. They were actually originally the Kenites. So they came to join, they joined the tribe of Judah. And here, God was actually using them as an example, you know, to compare the tribe of Judah that they joined in the, while they were in the wilderness. Because the tribe of Judah disobeyed God. They will not do what they decided, not to follow the ways of God. And God was using these people as an example of how you can hold on to your faith, how you can hold on to what you have been taught, how you can hold on to what you have received. Because their father, the Bible says their father already taught them, don't drink wine, don't build vineyards, don't cultivate vineyard, don't build houses. And so God, it was God that sent the prophet to them to actually test them, to show the tribe of Judah that this is a people that have held on to what they believed. And so God said Jeremiah should go and take them to the house of God, give them wine, let them eat, and let them drink. And then they told Jeremiah, we will not do that because our father told us that we should not do that. Because they had a deep understanding. They had a root. They were persuaded of what was handed over to them. And so nothing was going to shake them. Even though God was using that to test them. But what do we have today in our Christian? I'm talking to us as people who have given their lives to Christ. And perhaps you are here and you have not really given your lives to Christ, your life to Christ. I want to encourage you that today is the day of your salvation. Don't make it tomorrow, because you need to give it and then you start growing. There is no growth until you have first given your life to Christ. And so for us that have received Christ, what happens today is that we have a lot of wind. The Bible says that there is every wind of doctrine blowing around us. But unless we have a deep root, unless we understand and we hold fast to what we are persuaded of, to what we have been taught, brethren, people are getting blown away. People are getting blown away. People are getting removed. They are getting dispossessed of what they once possessed. And that's why the Bible says there are some last that will be first. There are some first that will be last. It's happening in our very eyes. It's happening in our very days. My prayer is that we will not be the first that will become last in Jesus' name. But the wind is blowing. The wind is blowing. And there is nothing we can do about that wind that blows. That wind blows. The only thing we can do is to make sure that we stand, that we don't get drifted, that we don't fall away. Even Brother Paul was telling, I think, the Ephesians church, he said, after my departure, wolves will come. They will not even spare the flock. They will not spare the flock. That these wolves will come into the flock of Christ, and they will deceive many, and many will be deceived. My prayer is that you will not be deceived in Jesus' name. Now, these people, they kept to that which was delivered to them by their fathers. By their fathers. They will not build houses. They will not drink wine. Because that was what was handed over to them. Has anything been handed over to us? I believe so. There are so many avenues here where we have been taught. We have been taught in the church. We have been taught over the, you know, phone line. We have been taught Facebook Live. Bible study, everything, the resources are available to us so that we are without excuse. So that we can't say, I did not hear. So that we can't say, I did not get enough instructions, enough resources were not made available to me. Brethren, we have so much. We have so much for us to be grounded. So much for us not to be enticed away. Because these days, brethren, it takes deception. It takes deception for some of us to live what we once believed. It takes deception. Because some of us actually know what we have accepted. So it takes the enemy to come, just like, you know, Satan deceived Eve. It takes the enemy to come and deceive us. And then we begin to trade. By the time we start negotiating. So, you know, just like one of my brothers those days, you know, in the dark of the night, a lady came and then started making advances to him. And instead of my brother to run away, you know, he started saying, but you know I'm a Christian. You know, I've been a Christian for some time. You know, And and then she was making advances. I've been in Christian for long. Brethren, this is not the time. We are not in that time anymore. Little is not enough again. Little of the knowledge of God is no longer enough. If we go about with the little, we are going to fall. We are not going to make it, brethren. I won't deceive you. Little is no longer enough. We need to dig deep. The Bible says, deep calleth into deep. Little is not going to get us there. Because the enemy, the Bible says, he knows that his time is short. So he's throwing darts. If 10 years ago he was throwing one, today he's throwing 10. He's throwing 10. That's why you get out of one challenge, another one comes. You get out of one, another one comes. Not because God is not there with you. He says, be of good cheer, because I have overcome. He has overcome, but you need to tap into that grace. And you need to equip yourself with the resources he has provided you. And that is getting yourself acquainted with the knowledge of the things of God. Soak yourself in the word of God. Thank God for my brother. He didn't fall anyway. But he came back. He came in the morning. I said, bro, can we pray together? Because I fell in the heart. And that was true. Because by the time he started negotiating, you see, there are points we get to that you don't need to wait. Because waiting longer there, you will compromise. There are times that you just need to flee. The Bible says, flee all appearances of evil. There are situations where you don't need to, where God, when God wants you to evangelize that person, you can evangelize. But don't go beyond the grace available to you. Otherwise, you will be evangelized. Praise the Lord. So what are we talking about this morning? The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 33 and verse 13, Moses was praying there. He said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses was praying to God there. He said, show me your ways. Because the Bible says that his ways are past finding out. And so in our digging deep and knowing who God is, and knowing the ways of the things of God, we need to continue to pray this prayer and say, Father, show me your way. No wonder that Moses his root was not shaking. No wonder it was always the children of Israel that were complaining. Brethren, if we don't get our root deep into the ground of the word of God and know the ways of God more and more, we will be complainers. We'll continue to complain. Everything that happens, we'll say, see now. We'll continue to complain. But because Moses knew that he knew how God was working things out, he prayed that prayer and he had an understanding of what God was doing. Brethren, he saw God in the midst of the situation. Things can happen around us, but because we don't know the ways of God, we can begin to doubt God. We can begin to say, is God there? It looks like God has left. It looks like God is no longer here. Maybe you find yourself, you are now alone. You don't have, maybe friends have left. People left Jesus Christ because they couldn't endure sound doctrine. And that does not mean that Jesus Christ will say, okay, because they left me, I am a failure. No. But there are people who will not be able to endure the hard truth. My prayer is that we'll be able to stand and endure it in Jesus' name. It is only that which will make our roots to be deep. The wind will continue to blow. The wind of challenges will blow. The wind we blow that will bring things that, you know, to begin to negotiate what you have been taught. They begin to negotiate. You begin to see them on the internet. You begin to see them on the YouTube. Because there are so many, the Bible says many prophets are gone into the world. They begin to tell you that they saw Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus Christ told them. And that's why the Bible says we should be like the Berean Christians. They went back to the Bible. They went back to see whether, thank you, sir, to see whether those things were true. They were so. And they will always be so because they were said by that man of God. But if they were said by that somebody who is working for the devil, they won't be so in the scriptures. And that's why today I'm encouraging you, just like the scripture said. He said we need to be rooted and built up in him. I'm encouraging you to avail yourself of the opportunities you have around you. Avail yourself, brethren. Avail yourself. The storm is raging. Avail yourself. The wind is blowing. Avail yourself of the resources that God has provided you and strengthen yourself. Strengthen yourself. Thank God for, you know, what God is doing in the lives of our children. Because that's where it starts from. There are rudiments of faith, you know, that God imparted into us when we were little. That you, there's no way. And those things have been there. We grew, they became part of our DNA. Thank God for the teachings that, you know, going, that these ones are going through. We may think that, oh, it's so little. Brethren, it's little by little. It's little by little. And that begins to be part of them. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, one day somebody will come and tell them. Even Brother Paul said, if we or another one tells you something contrary to what we have told, he said, let him be accursed. That is, it is even possible that the same person who told them the truth and they have validated it by the word of God now comes back. Maybe that person had backslidden, comes back to tell them something. They need to go back to that same word of God that is infallible. And as soon as the word of God confirms it, then the person who told them the truth before and now comes to tell them the untruth is accursed. That's what Brother Paul said. And so we need to get our roots very deep so that we know that this is God at work. This is God at work. Sometimes God moves. The Bible says his ways are past finding out. That's all the depth of the mystery of God. That's what the scripture says. He works in mysterious ways, and it just requires us to dwell in his word so that we know that this is God at work. If God decides to allow the wind to blow, he knows that he has given you the resources to be able to stand it. If God decides not to let the wind to blow and it stops the wind, so be it. But in any case, God is not at fault. We cannot blame God. We cannot blame God. Brother Paul says so that we are without excuse. In the book of John chapter 9, I'll read verses 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. He was born blind. I don't know how old this guy was at that time when Jesus met him. So it means that he was born blind and preserved until this day that Jesus met him. So it is possible that people have met him. They have said, see now, see how God created you. They have mocked him. They have said, see how God did. See what God has. Maybe his mother has been going to church and praying and praying and praying. He says, see now. They did not know that God was still at work. They didn't know, they didn't have an understanding of that God has his own way of working things out. They did not know that there was a greater purpose, there was a greater reason why God preserved that man's blindness, that you will continue to be blind. I'm there, I'm glorified in your blindness until the day that I will also be glorified in your seeing. But that's depends on how much we are familiar with the things of God. And how much we know that God needs to be glorified in all situations. How much we know that God is at work, whatever we're experiencing, whether as a church, as families, as a people. Brethren, we need to dwell in the word of God. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Brethren, one man sinned. The Bible says that the anger of God was kindled against Israel. How? What kind of God that we serve? But that is how it is. That is why we need to know the God that we serve. That is why we need to dwell in the word of God. That is why God, we cannot put sentiment in assessing the move of God. I mean, otherwise somebody will say, why will Achan sin? And then the children of Israel will be suffering the consequences. And in fact, if we go further down, we'll realize that by the time God was going to deal with him, of course, he didn't deal ultimately with the entire Israel, but he killed the guy with his children, his sons and his daughters. I don't know why they didn't mention his wife. Maybe the wife ran away. He said, his daughters, his sons. I said, so where is the wife? Why, how come the wife wasn't, maybe in another, you know, maybe another book of the Bible, maybe they would mention the wife. But maybe the wife was smart and knew how to play it. But the sons and the daughters, they died with him. What a pity. You know, like today they will say, oh, it's unfortunate. It's so unfortunate. But that's the kind of God we serve. And brethren, and that's why we can't afford to be on the surface. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, it said, verse 1, it said, leaving the elementary teachings, let's go on to maturity. And that's why I believe that here today we have Christians, people who have given their lives to Christ. Brethren, let's leave the elementary teachings. Elementary teachings will not get us home. We are not going to make it. I pray that we will make it in Jesus' name. But elementary teachings, even from the, you know, from the government house, elementary teachings, we disturb our faith, our foundation. From families, from friends, from everywhere, organizations, we will see things, we will hear things that will move us, that will shake us if we still stand on elementary teachings. He says, let us go on to maturity or onto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. That is, we can't be repenting every day. One man of God was preaching, he said, in his church, he was making altar call, and one of the members of the congregation was coming out every time. He was giving his life every time. He will give it, maybe he takes it back. He gives it, he takes it back. And so if somebody was so concerned, and he came to complain to the pastor, why can't you stop him from coming to give it? If he gives it every time, he takes it back. And pastor said, leave him. One day he will give it and he won't take it back. And that was what happened. He gave it one time and he didn't come out again to give it. That means he finally gave it. Brethren, but we can't continue doing that. We can't continue doing that. We can't continue looking for a message of salvation on the altar. When we need to move on and become teachers, we still want to be taught. When we need to move on and become the matured ones. Brethren, let's look at how many years we have spent in the faith. When we need to become recruiters, and then we will still want to be recruited. That's what this scripture is saying. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Those dead works should have been dead. We don't need to be called out again to come and repent. Or faith towards God. We don't need to be taught again that there's God in heaven. We don't need to be taught again that there is God in heaven, that there is heaven, there is hell. We don't need somebody to come from the dead to come and tell us how they died and how they saw that hell is real and that heaven is real. We don't need to do that anymore. We have had they feel the internet, YouTube, and those who did not die at all. Some didn't even die. They'll say they died. And they saw heaven, they saw hell. They will say they died. So that there will be many followers on YouTube who will want to hear what they saw in hell. Brethren, because of our time this morning, I just want to encourage us that we need to dwell in the resources that God has provided for us. Let us not move around. Let's not move around. Let's not go around. Let's not go around. Let's not look for another syllabus. Let's not look for another marking scheme. Let's not look for it. They gave somebody an exam and said, out of 8 questions, pick 5 out of 8. And the person said, this question, this thing is not complete. It's supposed to be 12. That used to be 12. I mean, it shows that out of 8, he couldn't even find 5. I thought last year it was 5. You know, in those days when we used to do economics, it used to be 12 questions. Suddenly they made it 8. And they said, pick 5. And the person said, this thing is not complete. Brethren, we don't need to look for another. Let's not look for another. Pick 5 out of 8. And let us move on. Let us move on, brethren. It sounds funny, but people have been lured away from the faith. Brother Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He said he has committed him to the devil. Alexander the coppersmith was once in the faith. The Bible says he sold his conscience. I pray that we will not sell our conscience. The Bible says some people's conscience is seared with hot iron so that they don't even want to hear the truth again. Truth becomes very bitter to them. I pray that that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. The race may be very tough. It may be very difficult. It may be very lonely. The road may be very narrow. Let us remain. It is only in remaining that we'll be saved. It's only in remaining that whatever we have done in the past will receive reward. And if there's any amend that we need to make, sometimes maybe in the course of our journey, we have traded the faith, traded what we used to believe. Brethren, it's time for us to come back home. It's time for us to come and to begin to do the works that we used to do for Him. It's time for us to begin to re-enlist ourselves, to begin to do as much and even much more than we used to do. I want us to close our eyes and talk to the Almighty God. In whatever way that the Holy Spirit of God has encouraged you, has challenged you, I want you to talk to Him today. Ask Him to help you to develop your roots. Ask Him to help you. Help you to be who He wants you to be. Help you to be able to maximize the resources that He has provided us.